Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Keith. How are you?
I am a little sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
David Bowie passed away yesterday, January 10th. News broke late last night that he passed away after an 18-month battle with cancer, just 2 days after he turned 69.
And a few days after he released his album Black Star as well.
The same day. He released his album on the same day as his birthday.
Man.
So he celebrated his birthday, releasing his 25th studio album, Black Star, and then 2 days later he passed away. So, yeah, we're a little sad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's... Gosh darn it, it's David frickin' Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about David Bowie and a lot more stuff this week on the Pop Shop podcast. As always, the podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, as we talked about, we'll be speaking about David Bowie. Of course, the news that he passed away last night. Of course, we'll talk about his career, some of our favorite memories of Bowie and his music. We'll also be talking about some big chart news this week. Justin Bieber gets his second number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with Sorry. And Lady Gaga did quite well at the Golden Globes last night.
Yes, she did.
She won her first Golden Globe Award, and not for a music category.
Yeah, for acting.
For acting.
Yes, it's pretty spectacular, actually.
Yeah, so we'll talk about all that stuff, hopefully. Yeah. So it's just...
It's a somber pop shop.
It's just weird to talk about, like, happy fun time stuff at the same time, you know, talking about David Bowie.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or at KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. So... David Bowie. I mean, we already said what happened. It was announced last night. I want to say 11 p.m.
It was. I can tell you exactly what time it was. Yeah. It was 10:45 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
So it was early morning Monday for the East Coasters. There was a tweet from the, or that's how I saw it. It was a tweet from the official David Bowie account.
Yeah. No, I saw that too because I was online working, and I saw the tweet. And immediately people, I think, thought that it was a hoax or that someone had cracked his account or something. And,
right.
But it was also on his Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on all of his social networks. And I think I saw a lot of fans that were reacting like, no, this isn't, you know, it's not, it can't be.
Right.
But no, it was. We don't know exactly what, you know, exactly he died of aside from cancer. And what's interesting is that he didn't tell anyone about this.
Yeah, it was not public knowledge.
No, I mean, he has kind of rather famously not given an interview to the press or the media in a number of years. I mean, I don't know when was the last time he spoke, granted a real interview.
And we realized that Billboard last spoke to him more than a decade ago.
Yeah, I think the last time, I mean, I could be wrong on that. I think I last night I found a story in 2003 when his reality album came out. And then I think that was his last album until the next day in 2013. And he didn't do any press for that.
Mm.
Like not a lick of press.
Mm.
I remember how, I think it was right around his birthday in 2013, he dropped a new single. And he, you know, said, surprise, there's a new album coming. And then the album debuted at number 2 on the Billboard 200. It became his highest charting album ever, which is crazy. And he did all of that without any promotion, no performances. He made music videos, but everyone, and he didn't even say why he wasn't doing any press.
Right.
He let the music speak for itself.
Yeah.
Which was kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I thought, and maybe a lot of other people thought that he was just being Bowie.
That was
Bowie.
Like an artistic choice.
Yes.
Yeah. Which obviously would make sense with, you know, pretty much his entire career making this grand artistic choice.
Yeah.
And he's kind of beyond promotion at this point. He's David flipping Bowie. So.
And you know, if you look back at, and I'm sure we've all done this already, when you go back and look at his earlier interviews, he was never like super comfortable talking to press.
Right.
He always felt like, ugh, like, why am I answering these silly questions? Are you really asking me that? Like, it was all like just, you know, beyond him. And so I just kind of thought, I'm like, well, he's like, I'm David Bowie, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
And it might have been a piece of that, and then also a piece of, you know, privacy and a piece of illness.
Yeah.
As well, in recent years.
So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Well, anyway, his brand new album, Black Star, came out last Friday, as we said, on his 69th birthday. It's his 25th studio album. Up until last night, it appeared that it was on track for probably a top 10 debut on the Billboard 200 chart. And I say this because, you know, this is a show where we talk about charts. I'm not trying to jump on some sort of like chart forecasty type story, but I don't have a forecast yet. The folks I spoke to at his label said it was a bit too early, which it is. I think we'll probably have a better idea on how it will do in its first full week on Tuesday morning. We're recording this on Monday, so by the time you hear this, we might have a story up on Billboard.com. And I have the distinct feeling that there's at least a fair chance it could be his first number one album on the Billboard 200
chart.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that the urgency behind this album has just gone to new heights. So, yes.
And Tony Visconti, who's the producer of the album and is Bowie's longtime collaborator, he posted something on Facebook, I think late last night or early this morning. And this is what he said in full. He said, "He always did what he wanted to do," meaning Bowie, "and he wanted to do it his way, and he wanted to do it the best way. His death was no different from his life, a work of art. He made Black Star for us, his parting gift. I knew for a year this was the way it would be. I wasn't, however, prepared for it. He was an extraordinary man, full of love and life. He will always be with us. For now, it is appropriate to cry."
And commence crying.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that he says that, you know, he made this album knowing it was going to be like, knowing it was going to be his last album.
Yeah.
And that, like, not just that he was sick, but that he knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's crazy.
And, I don't know.
Have you watched that Lazarus video from the new Black Star album yet?
Yeah.
And I was just reading about that and watching that this morning, and just like watching that in this new context is just, it's devastating. I mean, it's like him in a hospital bed, you know? It's like, it's totally, it's looking at it through completely different eyes watching it this morning versus when it came out.
And I think it's a testament to the people that he's surrounded himself with and, you know, just his team, I suppose, that, you know, none of this ever got out.
Yeah.
He was able to exit the stage how he wanted
exactly
to.
Exactly how he wanted to. Yep.
And this is, as Tony Visconti said, his death was no different from his life. It's a work of art. And this is sort of a piece of art.
Yeah.
And speaking of art, and this is sort of a side thing, if you ever get the chance to see the David Bowie Is exhibit, it was it's traveling now. It started in the UK, in London. It's this amazing gallery installation that is basically just all about David Bowie's life. It started, I want to say, like probably like 3 or 4 years ago. Before the next day, I saw it in London. It was amazing, like because it literally like you walk in and it's this immersive interactive exhibit where it starts at the beginning of his career and there's pieces of David Bowie's ephemera, like costumes and articles and diaries, like things that he's, you know, he provided from his archives. And I remember towards the end of the exhibit, you walk into this huge room and it's just overwhelming because you walk in and it's this like three-story room and it's just full, it's just surrounded with TV screens and monitors and huge displays, and they're all playing David Bowie like performances and music videos and live stuff. But at the same time, all around the room, hanging from the rafters and all around, are like his show outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, him as Aladdin Sane and like him and like, you know, all this stuff. And you just walk in, you're like, oh my God, it's like you've just walked into this amazing like concert, but David Bowie isn't there.
Right.
But it's just, it's really cool.
That's awesome.
It's been traveling the world. I think it was in Australia perhaps last. I want to say it was in America in the past year at some point. I'm sure we'll be probably traveling for years to come, but it's so awesome. I don't know. Speaking of sort of the brilliance of him and sort of being overwhelmed by just a museum exhibit, when did you become aware of Bowie, Katie?
Well, when you asked me this question before we started recording today, I sort of thought about it and realized that there's been sort of three stages for me with David Bowie.
Starts because, with Labyrinth.
Well, then... actually, I guess that's a whole other stage that is still haunts my nightmares, actually. But my dad was a huge classic rock fan, so we always listened to the classic rock station growing up. And so I really knew that stuff really well. I knew like Suffragette City and Rebel Rebel and, you know, even Space Oddity and, you know, any, you know, all the stuff they would play on the classic rock radio station. So that's like kind of just how I knew of him. Like, you know, I knew his voice, knew, you know, his music. But because of that, I wasn't really aware of like any of the 80s kind of dancey stuff until later because they didn't play that stuff on the classic rock station, you know? And I was a little too young to live through that part. And so then I think when I was in high school and he put out I'm Afraid of Americans, all of a sudden, like, that was a cool song, by the way.
It's a song produced with Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, it's such an incredible song. And all of a sudden, like, they're playing, you know, David Bowie on heavy rotation on MTV again, you know, in my generation. And that made me look back at like his old music videos. I watched a lot of VH1 where they played old videos a lot.
Yeah.
And so then I would see those and be like, oh, it's the Afraid of Americans guy / classic rock guy. But like, you know, doing China Girl and Let's Dance and all this other, you know, dancey stuff. And then when I was in college, I heard Modern Love on the radio for the first time. I had never heard that song in my life. So I was 21 years old when I heard Modern Love for the first time.
Wow.
And I absolutely fell in love with that song. I was like, what is this? I need everything, like, by David Bowie right now. And so, like, basically that was, like, that's when I started buying albums and becoming, like, a huge fan was, like, when I was 21 years old.
It's interesting. I think everyone, especially because we're too young to have actually lived through when he actually...
Like through the Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah. Like I was born in 1975.
Right.
Like he had already been charting.
Yep.
Like, so, you know, and I didn't become aware of him at all until Let's Dance.
Yeah.
And all of my memories of his music, at least probably in the 80s, and certainly early 90s, was thanks to MTV.
Yep.
Because I remember watching the videos for... I remember at the time when they were contemporary, watching the videos for Let's Dance, China Girl, and Modern Love.
What about the Mick Jagger
Dancing in the Streets?
That video is so amazing. I love that video.
I mean, Mick Jagger and David Bowie, like, flouncing around London, like, you know, squawking at one another doing Dancing in the Streets.
I listened to that this morning. Yeah, they're just yelling at you the whole time. That song is hilarious.
But then you know, because I think we're like this with a lot of sort of, I don't know how to put it, but you talked about how you discovered him through, you know, different ways, in sort of unexpected ways.
Yes.
And, you know, I learned about him the way you're supposed to learn about him. Oh, look, he put out an album with a hit single
on
MTV.
Right.
However, like, I sort of kind of tuned out, you know, as most people, I think, you know, do with certain artists, especially when you're young and you're a child.
Yeah.
You're not going back to listen to Ziggy Stardust.
Exactly.
When you're 9.
Yeah.
But I became more aware of him in, like, weird ways. Like, I think on the Pretty Woman soundtrack, there was a remix of, I think, Fame. They called it Fame 90.
Yeah.
And I had the Pretty Woman soundtrack. I'm like, wow, David Bowie, Fame 90. Mm. And I think at the same time, he put out a Greatest Hits album.
Okay.
He was always really good at that. Like, he would, like, every few years, he would find a way to place himself into some sort of piece of mainstream pop.
Yeah.
And then that would trigger something in people where they were like, wow, that's cool. Let me go listen to the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had that sort of entryway where if it was, it might have been I'm Afraid of Americans, where he's like, didn't he go on tour with
Nine Inch Nails? Yeah. I mean, it was a moment. It was like, and all of a sudden he was like this relevant, like,
cool,
alternative artist. Like, yeah.
And I think, I was thinking of like all the people that Bowie has worked with. Cause you know, at Billboard, we've been kind of working nonstop since the news broke, you know, talking, you know, trying to reach out to folks that have worked with David Bowie to,
and it's so like wide reaching.
It's insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone from, as we, people, the names we've already mentioned, like Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails, but then you have, you know, he recorded with Tina Turner and Luther Vandross, Brian Eno, and Madonna,
I mean,
was influenced by him. Lady Gaga says she wouldn't have existed without him.
Like Queen and Under Pressure and Bing Crosby, Little Drummer Boy, Christmas. You know, like, it's just so wide-reaching.
The tweets that I was seeing, it's like, it's hard to think of, I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm not sure if there's been, I would say this is the kind of a reaction in a way that Michael Jackson had, where he is an artist, Bowie, is an artist that has touched so many different kinds of people from so many different kinds of music.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got country and rock and rappers and
dance.
Alt guys and dance people. Like, he impacted everyone.
Yep.
And it's one of, and he's also one of those artists where even if you don't own a David Bowie album, you certainly know some of his music.
You could probably name like five songs.
Yeah.
Like a regular person off the street could probably name five David Bowie songs, which you cannot say that about a lot of artists.
Yeah. Speaking of which, do you have any sort of favorite Bowie songs?
Well, as I mentioned, Modern Love is my number one all-time favorite. It just makes me so happy every time I listen to it. It is amazing.
Get you to the church on time.
Get me to the church on time. But
church
then I wrote a couple other ones down. Young Americans, I'm obsessed with as well. And actually, Darren Criss had a really sweet tweet this morning where he said, I'm so sad right now, but I've got Young Americans on and my headphones walking down the street in New York, and it's making me have the biggest smile on my face.
Aww.
And I thought that was really sweet. And I love that song. And then I really love basically all the spacey stuff. Like, I love Life on Mars.
Spacey stuff.
Yes, I love Space Oddity. I love Ziggy Stardust. Like, I love any of those kind of... I like his Ziggy Stardust phase in general.
Yeah, clearly my favorite is Dancing in the Street.
Oh.
No.
I was going to say, that's... I mean, I would not...
Oh, I thought you're like, oh, I'll just go along with that.
I'll just go with it.
Sure.
It's such a ridiculous song.
I think... I don't have, like, a ranked list. One of the songs that I think... is most memorable to me is Suffragette City.
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know why, but I used to go to a bar in LA called Akbar in Los Feliz.
Okay.
Like a decade ago, more than a decade ago, and they had the most amazing jukebox there, full of such cool music. Like you know, on the one hand, there'd be like Depeche Mode, The Cure, and David Bowie, but then they'd also have like, you know, the latest from Arcade Fire or
whatever.
Right. And they had Bowie's Greatest Hits in there. And Suffragette City just sounded so good on the jukebox, blasting in this bar. And I like got to play DJ. And I'm like, I'm going to play Suffragette City and Susie and the Banshees. And I'm like, every time I would go, I'm like, it's time for Suffragette City. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
And like, it sounds so ridiculous.
She's a total blam blam.
Yeah. It sounds so ridiculous, but like, these songs have sort of soundtracked our life.
Yeah.
In like the weirdest ways. Yep. Like, I have great memories of like, you know, me and my stepsister when I was a child, like watching David Bowie on MTV doing Let's Dance.
Yeah.
You know, I also have memories of like, you know, being like just getting out of college or in college with I'm Afraid of Americans.
Yep.
I'm like, my God, Bowie's on MTV again.
Yep. Do you remember the scene in Wedding Singer? Did you see The Wedding Singer?
No.
Okay, it's a really ridiculous, funny movie. But there's a scene in there where they play China Girl out at a dance club, and Drew Barrymore and the girl who plays her sister are like singing along to the "Oh baby, just you shut your mouth" part of it. And every time I watch it, I like, and I hear that song on the radio, I think of that exact scene. Wow. And I love that song. That is also a ridiculous song, but I love it as well.
It is ridiculous.
Yes.
Did you ever see David Bowie live, by the way?
Never. Did you?
I did.
You did?
I saw him on his last, well, what was, what in, ended up being his last tour.
Oh, man. So when was that?
It was 2003, 2004.
Where'd you see him? Here?
At the Greek Theater, yeah.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Man.
And there was, I had never seen him before. It was awesome. And there was a one moment in the show where he was, and it was really funny, where he had played like three songs in a row that no one really knew, because, you know, that's what happens. You know, you're supporting a new album.
New album cycle, yeah.
Yeah, and he was playing some like random like album cuts from earlier albums too. And then after like the third song that was sort of getting like a reaction from the crowd, he said something like, "All right, we're going to play a hit now."
Okay, fine.
It's like basically like, "All right." And it was like, and then like on came like whatever it was, like Heroes
and
or Let's
lost
Dance.
Their minds.
And it was just funny because he had this sense of humor, this like, yeah, all right, we're going to play something that you'll know now. You know, he was just funny that way.
Oh, Heroes. Speaking of Heroes, have you seen the movie Perks of Being a Wallflower?
Yes.
So that only came out, what, 3 or 4 years ago.
That's a really
and
sad movie.
It's set in the late 90s, I think. It's set in the 90s. But there's like a key scene in that movie set to Heroes, like it's these kids, 90s kids discovering. No, not at the dance. It's when they're in the truck and they're driving under that tunnel.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
and Heroes is playing and they're like, "What is this?" And they're like, they don't know what it is yet. They're like, "We got to figure out what this amazing song is." And it's Heroes, and it's like, it's a movie for like kids in 2011 about kids in the 90s listening to a song from, you know, it's crazy.
Somewhere today, all over today, there are people discovering David Bowie for the first time.
Yep.
And the wonderful thing is there's so much wonderful music. There's no wrong place to start.
Nope.
Start with any song you want. Just pick one.
Yep.
And you'll fall into the rabbit hole of David Bowie.
Yes.
And, you know, good luck. Let us know what some of your favorites are.
Enjoy.
Well, and that's it. We're all done.
Yeah. Oh.
And we'll see you next week. No, actually.
Well, what was on the charts this week, Keith?
Well, you know, switching gears, there actually was some chart news this week, believe it or not. On the Billboard Hot 100 chart, after spending 9 weeks at number 2. Did I say 9? Did I actually mean 9?
You wrote 9. Did you mean 9?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I actually meant 9. Anyway. After a good long spell at number 2, Justin Bieber's Sorry hits number 1 this week. It rises 2-1 in its 11th week on the chart. It bumps Adele's Hello from the top slot after a whopping 10 straight weeks at number 1. What's interesting about this is that Sorry hits number 1 even though Bieber's top-selling song of the week is actually a different song, Love Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It jumps to number 1 on the digital songs chart for the first time, and it sold 164,000 downloads last week. While you love yourself, while Yolanda self, sorry, I was up late last night, while Love Yourself may be his biggest seller of the week, Sorry actually leads in terms of both airplay and streams, and thus is able to topple Adele. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Love Yourself eventually hit number 1.
Oh yeah, it's all over radio. I had a moment yesterday, Keith, where I was listening to the radio and Love Yourself came out. And I listened to the whole thing through. It's a great song. It's very Ed Sheeran. I like the part where the trumpet's playing and Justin's kind of scatting along alongside the trumpet.
I feel like Love Yourself actually probably had a different song title and they changed it to Love Yourself.
Oh, you think so?
I think it might have been like something a little bit more like flip-off-y.
Well, yeah, it's actually funny. If you hear the title Love Yourself, it makes it sound like it's a self-empowerment song. But then you actually listen to the lyrics and it's like you can't love me anymore. So go ahead and love yourself because you're by yourself. That's what it means.
And I thought it was just like, you know, well, go love
you're
yourself.
You're probably right that F Yeah, was originally the word.
Because the sentiment of it, I'm like, oh, it's a very sort of CeeLo FU type mm-hmm. song, but in a Bieber sort of way.
But if you just listen, if you don't listen to the words, it's a very pretty song. And so it sounds very friendly and pretty. And then you listen to it. But then I changed the radio station and Sorry's on the next station. And I listened to that all the way through. And I'm like, man, 2016 is the year where I listen to back-to-back Justin Bieber songs and listen to them all the way through and don't change.
And don't
like,
mind.
Actually really like them and sing along with them.
Justin Bieber's got that tropical house music magic.
For all the 33-year-olds of the world, which I never thought would happen. So there you go.
Elsewhere on the Hot 100, 21 Pilots continues to fly. Hey, zing.
Are we going to have to stop using that headline at some point?
Nope.
About them flying up the charts?
Stressed Out, their hit single Zips 9 to 5 on the Hot 100 with big gains in airplay and streams. You know, it's that time of year where a lot of artists can make headway on the charts because it's that weird transitionary period on the charts where you can drop a new album, put out a single that is sort of out of the blue, and you'll find a lot of chart success because there's the competition is a little bit decreased in January.
Yeah.
So Stressed Out is finding big success. I don't know if it's going to hit number one, but certainly it is making its way up the chart. Outside the top 10, there are some tracks that are making some fast moves onwards to possibly hitting the top 10 in the next few weeks. The Chainsmokers' Roses is flying.
Blooms.
Blooms. Get it? Blooms. I'm actually grabbing the Hot 100 chart in front of me.
I really like that song, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't know why I said thank you. I made it. It goes 22 to 13 on the chart. Also making some big moves. Let's see. Oh, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Shawn Mendes and
Camila Cabello.
Camila.
The L is in the first name, Camila, and then Cabello. The L is silent in the second name. Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
It's right there in phonetics on her Twitter account.
Yeah, I know. I'm just waiting for her to probably like accost me the next time she sees me. She's like, you still can't get it right. It moves 28 to 22 on the Hot 100 chart. It's one of two top 30 tracks this week for Shawn Mendes. He's also in the top 10 with Stitches. I just love saying it that way. I don't know why.
Out of the Woods is back. Thanks
Out of the Woods.
To New Year's Eve.
Thank you. Out of the Woods re-enters the chart at number 46, thanks in part to the release of its music video on New Year's Eve Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve
with Ryan Seacrest and Jenny McCarthy. And
no, Jenny McCarthy's name is not in the name of the show.
I'm just adding names because they're all there.
Like, it's not.
We can't add more names.
Over on the Billboard 200 chart, I want to briefly say, this is not on the script, Adele is still number one with 25 for the seventh straight week in a row. It has spent all seven of its weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Take a wild guess as to what was the last album by a woman to spend its first 7 weeks at number one on the Billboard 200 chart.
Well, first 7 weeks.
Yes, so that means it debuted at number one. And then stayed at number one for seven straight weeks. Not 7 weeks in total.
Yeah, I don't think I have it, because I was going to say Taylor Swift 1989,
nope.
But it didn't do the first 7 weeks.
1989 has spent more than 7 weeks at number one, but it wasn't all consecutive.
And it wasn't Adele, because 21 didn't do it either. Britney, oops.
Nope.
Just because that was such a big seller.
I'll give you a hint.
Yes, a hint.
This has only happened twice. So Adele's 25 is the second album by a woman.
Like Madonna?
Nope.
Your girl Madonna? No.
I'll give you another hint.
I need one, clearly.
The first time it happened was before Nielsen started powering our charts in
1991.
Wow. Before 1991, there were only six albums that debuted at number one, and only one of them was by a woman.
Wow.
And it was this album.
Wow. Is it the 80s or earlier?
The 80s.
It was the 80s. It's not Madonna. It's not Janet? Janet?
Nope.
Man.
You're getting close, because you've named two out of the big divas of the 80s.
It's not Paula, who we were talking about.
Nope.
Wow. Oh, Whitney. Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston's second album, which was just called Whitney, debuted at number
Everybody
one.
Listening to this is yelling Whitney. They've been yelling Whitney for the last, like, minute.
That's part of the fun of the show. Whitney's second album, just called Whitney, debuted at number one. It was the first album by a woman to debut at number one on the Billboard 200.
That's a great album.
And it spent 11 weeks at number one, and all 11 were its first.
Wow, all in a row.
Yeah, all in a row.
Okay.
So, there you go.
Whitney.
Speaking of Whitney, and there's a woman who was influenced by Whitney, and Gaga has talked about this before. Lady Gaga won a Golden Globe Award last night for Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series or Motion Picture Made for Television. It's a mouthful. For American Horror Story Hotel. Therefore, she won a Golden Globe Award for acting. I noted this on Twitter that she is now, she has joined the likes of such performers as Madonna and Cher, who have also had number one hits on the Billboard Hot 100, but also have won a Golden Globe for acting.
She even name dropped Cher in her speech.
She did. She felt very moonstruck-like.
Very moonstruck.
She's just a simple girl from New York.
Dating Nicolas Cage.
Cher is not from New York, but no. You get the idea.
That's a great movie, by the way.
Some other artists who, strangely, and they all have to be divas. I'm sure there are others. I haven't researched every single Golden Globe winner, but some other performers who have also had a number one single on the Hot 100 and won a Golden Globe for acting. And we're specifying acting because, you know, it's a little bit easier to win a Golden Globe for
original song, one of the
music categories. Yep. Diana Ross,
mm-hmm.
Bette Midler, and Barbara Streisand.
Okay.
You may have heard of Barbara.
She's in good company, is what you're saying.
She's in some high-quality diva company.
It's not surprising, actually. You see all those names, Lady Gaga kind of fits in modern-day version of all these ladies, so I'm in.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Ryan Murphy, who created American Horror Story mm-hmm. Hotel, must be getting, like, the biggest, like, bouquet of flowers today
from
Lady
Gaga.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. That was the first person that she thanked. The very first person.
I mean, that's she has had such an incredible, like,
trajectory
for like the past, like, more than a year now, mm-hmm. basically since the Tony Bennett Cheek to Cheek album.
Yep.
She has been on this sort of ascent.
Yep.
Again, you know, and then she had the Academy Awards a year ago.
I was going to say, it's all very, it's like non-traditional. It wouldn't be how you expected her to have these big moments. Like, no. She's got this song now that's could be an Oscar contender.
Absolutely.
That was nominated last night as well. And she's got, or was it? Never mind, just making things up.
It was not.
It's still an Oscar contender.
Yes.
The song from The Hunting Ground.
It's called Till It Happens to You. It was co-written with Diane Warren. It could possibly get an Academy Award nomination this Thursday for Best Original Song. It is a contender.
She just keeps earning her title of Billboard Woman of the Year.
Yeah. Too. we look pretty smart at selecting Gaga as our woman
Indeed.
Of the year. Stay tuned this week on billboard.com to find out more information about the Academy Award nominations and if Gaga might get an Academy Award nomination on Thursday. And who knows, she might pull off an Emmy Award win later this year.
That would be crazy.
Because she can get an Emmy nomination for
what
American
if she,
Horror
like,
Story
takes a total turn and becomes like an actress primarily.
She could. Wasn't her first sort of gigs, like, she wanted to be an actress first?
That's what she said in her speech, that was her dream was to become an actress first, then music kind of took off more quickly, so she went that direction. So maybe this is when we see a shift. Huh. We'll find out.
Well, you know what time it is now, Katie?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for the chart stat of the week. I wanted to make this one kind of David Bowie related, and I don't really actually have like a fun chart geek stat. I just wanted to find something that happened this week in David Bowie history on the charts. So this week in 1982, Under Pressure, his collaboration with Queen, peaked at number 29 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. I know what you're thinking. 29? Really? That's it? It's funny how that works. You know, some of the most iconic tracks in pop history oftentimes do not go as high as we think on the charts, but they leave an incredible impression. And Under Pressure is one of those tracks. In fact, a lot of David Bowie's songs did not have incredibly high chart peaks. And some songs that we remember, like we talked about Suffragette City earlier, never charted on the Hot 100. I don't even know if it was released as a single in America.
Wow.
I mean, you know, Heroes never charted on the Hot 100. But, you know, on the flip side, you have everything from Golden Years and Fame and Young Americans and Rebel Rebel and the Gene Genie. All these songs charted.
Yeah.
So he actually charted so far, because, you know, we don't know. He could certainly get another hit on the Hot 100 in the coming week.
Yeah.
In his lifetime, he charted 26 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. His first actually chart entry was Changes in 1972. Strangely, though, that wasn't his first, let me rephrase that. It was his first single to chart on the Hot 100, but it had a weird kind of chart history. It charted in 1972, then fell off the chart, and then came back at the end of 1974 after he broke through with Rebel Rebel. And then Changes came back and then found a sort of a second life and actually peaked in 1975. Wow. So this weird kind of chart run in the early 1970s. Anyway, I this is a rambling thing of me just saying David Bowie.
I want to hear it all. Love it. I'm here for it.
Do you know how many number one hits he's had?
I mean, I could guess.
Just guess. I'll give you a hint. It's not that many.
Okay, then I'll guess four.
Two, actually.
Two. So what are the two?
Can you guess?
Oh, man. Any 80s?
Yeah.
Let's Dance?
That would be one.
Okay.
That was his last.
Is the other one 70s?
Yep.
Okay. Was it Changes?
Nope. It was, I'll just tell you.
Okay.
Fame.
Oh, Fame. Fame's a great song.
Fame, co-written with John Lennon. And John actually plays guitar and has backing vocals on the track.
Wow.
There's actually, we can link to it online because it's a really long story. I wrote something for Billboard Magazine on the anniversary of when Fame hit number one last September, with the 40th anniversary of hitting number one. We'll link it to the story on Billboard.com. It's a really interesting story. Like, the song wasn't meant to ever sort of be what it turned out to be. But then it turned out to be what it did. And then it ultimately led to him getting on Soul Train, and he ended up charting on the R&B chart thanks to Fame, and craziness. Anyway, that's my long ramble about David Bowie on the charts. This week in 1982, Under Pressure hit number 29 on the Billboard Hot 100. Well, I think that's it for this week, Katie.
I think so.
Do you have any parting words?
Well, I am totally going to make the call on what music we go out on today, because just chatting about this song, we didn't even get to it when we were originally talking about David Bowie, but we have to go out on Changes.
Okay.
That is such a fantastic song, and I feel like it's such a poignant song, too.
Well, that said, let's go out on Changes, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Changes. Turn and face the strange. Change.